KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Donald Trump preparing to speak to reporters shortly. His campaign continuing to deal with fallout from a Sunday rally at Madison Square Garden at which a warm-up comedian called Puerto Rico a floating pile of garbage. Trump talking to ABC's Rachel Scott this morning.
The former president told me that he did not know who that comedian was, that he did not see or hear any of the comments that he made. But again, this is a speaker that was invited to address supporters by the Trump campaign.
Trump claims not to have heard the jokes told at that rally. Trump will today visit Allentown, Pennsylvania, a city with a sizable Puerto Rican population. Vice President Harris will appear at the Ellipse in Washington, presenting what her campaign says is the closing argument to her campaign. That's the same spot where Donald Trump told his supporters to go to the Capitol on January 6th. Trump ally Steve Bannon has been released from prison, having served his four-month sentence for defying a subpoena in the January 6th congressional investigation. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new federal rule that went into effect on Monday will protect passengers if their flights are canceled or significantly delayed. Previously, some airlines would give vouchers out to their passengers in the event of a canceled or heavily delayed flight, providing some manner of relief for the passengers but limiting their options for booking new travel. Now airlines will be required to provide a cash refund for passengers whose travel plans are heavily affected. The rule change comes just in time for the holiday season, the busiest travel time of the year. Wisconsin industries have seen a growing push for unionization in recent years. According to the National Labor Relations Board, the state saw a total of 47 union petitions for the 2024 fiscal year. The number of petitions is significantly higher than last year, which saw only 25 union petitions, and has more than doubled since the 2021 fiscal year. The increased interest in unionization follows a trend throughout the Midwest, which has seen an increase in union petitions of nearly 140% since the 2021 fiscal year. The city of Duluth has officially reopened Brighton Beach after years of construction and renovations. On Monday, city officials unveiled new amenities like the extended lake walk, picnic tables, and new bathrooms. They say during the planning process, they reached out to community members to find out what they wanted added to or changed at the beach during the renovation project. A number of local organizations like Friends of the Lake Walk also contributed to the reconstruction. The project took a total of about 4 years to complete. The Rotary Club of Duluth held its biggest fundraiser of the year over the weekend, spreading roses throughout the area before winter sets in. Officials say it's the 39th year that the organization has held their annual rose sale, and the proceeds are sent to community-based organizations. The roses were sold at various shopping centers around the city. Officials also say the organization is always looking for new projects to benefit the community and is always looking to bring in more community members to volunteer with the club. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Celtics 119-108. Milwaukee now 0-2 on this road trip. They've lost three in a row. Damian Lillard.
It's definitely frustrating because when we do what we're supposed to do, you see what the first game looked like, and then in moments of the last two games, you see when we do it, what the game looks like. I just think it's one of those things right now where you just gotta stay in the fight.
The Bucks play in Memphis Thursday. College football, Badgers head coach Luke Fickell on reviewing the loss to Penn State over the weekend.
You know, it was tough, but as you look back at it, you know, the thing that it comes down to is execution, and execution in the fourth quarter, and then making plays.
The Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night. The NFL Network reporting an MRI showed no serious damage for Jordan Love and that groin injury. Could he play Sunday against the Lions?
If he can go, he'll go. We'll see where he's at by the end of the week, but if we feel like he can't protect himself, then we certainly wouldn't put him in that position.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers, thundershowers, 55. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with falling temperatures. We're going to drop into the upper 40s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
My name is Anton Moore. Around here, we have hardworking people that just need a break. Whether it's investing in small businesses or making housing affordable, Vice President Harris gets it.
Kamala Harris is making sure black men have the tools to build generational wealth. She'll put a policy in place that gives 1 million forgivable loans to help entrepreneurs, including black entrepreneurs, start their own businesses. She also plans to give $25,000 in down payment assistance for first-time homeowners and crack down on racial bias in home appraisals. Harris's plan will help black men own more assets so we can build long-term wealth.
This is what an investment in my community looks like. We're trying to build generational wealth. No get-rich-quick schemes, no scams, no one-time check, none of that. Vice President Harris got our back. I'll be there on November 5th. Will you be there?
I'm Kamala Harris, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Harris for President.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour finds us in Viroqua, Wisconsin, with Trigvi Olsen and Reed Galen. Come on downtown Viroqua and join us on the air.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
One, two, you know what to do.
All right.
All right, welcome back to a Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. So,
the music, eh?
Yeah.
That was Beck and 1-2, You Know What to Do, and 1-2, You Know What to Do, which is Get Out and Vote. It's the countdown.
So Sandy, I wanted to, you know, this thought that we are where we are now because of money and politics. We talk about it. It's been, you know, this says, this article in today's The Hill, it doesn't talk about just the present Supreme Court. This says for two decades of unlimited money in politics has transformed U.S. democracy. So for 20 years, money has found its way.
Well, Citizens United, that's about the time period. And so the Citizens United case by the Supreme Court, in which they, I think, very foolishly decided that a corporation was a person, okay, and that it was a person for the purpose of having the rights of people to the freedom of speech, and that a corporate speech came in the form of money, so that you couldn't limit corporate speech by putting a limit on the money that corporations could put into the political process. The whole thing was, I mean, it was confounding. When you go to law school and they teach you what a corporation is, a corporation is a separate entity, and sometimes in order to help you understand what a separate entity is, they say it's like a separate person, okay? But they don't mean like a human person. And all of the human beings who own stock in the corporation have the right of speech, okay? And so do all the officers of a corporation. They all have the right of speech. But what the Supreme Court decided was that it wasn't just the people who inhabit a corporation or the people who own a corporation that have a freedom of speech. They decided that the corporation itself had freedom of speech in the form of the expenditure of money in politics. And that half-witted theory is what got us Citizens United and has basically created an unlimited flow of corporate funds into the political process.
Sandy, you just gave me a headache. So they teach you that the person is not a human person.
Well, they teach you that a corporation is a separate. So it used to be that if you owned a business, you could be liable for the liabilities of the business because you owned it. Well, no, they set up corporations to be a barrier between the owner of the business and the liability of the business. The liability of a business in a corporate setting is restricted to the assets of the corporation, and you can't attack the assets of the shareholders who own it. So that corporation is a separate entity, or sometimes law professors would say it's a separate person. But it's not a person for the purpose of the Bill of Rights.
So a business has more leverage than a person.
Well, a business has lots of money. Big corporations have lots of money, okay?
Yeah, so...
And they also can spend that money in manners that might not be consistent with the views of all the people who own the corporation or who inhabit the corporation.
So now, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, so here's the part of it that has always troubled me. So we talk about the Bill of Rights. We talk about the Constitution. We talk about all those things. We talk about all of this in our great democracy. And then our jurisprudence, the presidency, and all these different things. And then we find out that the business, because it has money, is going to be the final arbiter.
Well, I mean,
of what happens in this nation.
I mean,
truly, that's kind of what it is.
I mean, Citizens United needs to get changed, and it can get changed one of two ways. We can amend the Constitution to get rid of this faulty interpretation of it, or we can get rid of the faulty interpretation by having a subsequent Supreme Court reverse this silly decision, really, in my mind, silly decision that was issued by the Supreme Court. That'll require undoubtedly a change in membership of the Supreme Court. We can scratch our heads and say, how did all these smart justices reach this silly conclusion? And I suppose the cynic in me can maybe believe that maybe the justices were affected by thought processes that went beyond the strict jurisprudence of the matter before them, and they understood the value of the dollar and how it might be valuable in the political process.
Hey, Sally, it wasn't silly when it comes to the corporations who are making the money.
There are plenty of corporations who probably wish that they wouldn't be subject to being asked for so much money. It used to be that corporations couldn't give money, and many of them were happy about being able to say, you know what, I really like what you're doing, Senator, but I can't give you any money.
But they're getting something for the money that they give.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But the American citizen is getting something else, and it's the short end of the stick.
Well, I do believe the attraction to Donald Trump is the anti-establishment feeling that people have because Washington has ignored the people for so long. I mean, you elect senators and House of Representatives, congressmen. They go off to Washington, and you never hear about what they do. They're passing laws, but you never hear about the laws they pass because all the laws they pass are in response to the special interests in Washington who need this or that done on their behalf, whether it's big pharma or whether it's the medical trade or whether it's somebody who imports steel or exports steel or whatever. And so money has taken over, and the people are no longer feeling like they're served by Washington and they're angry about it. And one candidate has done a better job than the others of tapping into that anger, I guess by establishing himself as anti-establishment. Crazy that a billionaire could accomplish that. And he's doing it by making all of the kind of promises that politicians have always made. He's making all of the promises, like I said before, but he has definitely tapped into an anger and a frustration. And part of that anger and frustration, I think, is the result of money controlling politics, dark money controlling politics, and politicians not delivering back to the people.
So, Sandy, one of the things
he doesn't promise the people anything other than to manifest their anger.
One of the things I've always tried to do since I've been on the air is to educate people to understanding that when you vote for somebody and wherever you send them, if you don't monitor them, for the most part, you're going to get the short end of the stick. And I don't care if it's the school board or the county board or the alderperson or the state representative or the state senator or the congressperson or the United States senator, because that elected official loses contact with you once you vote for them. And so if you are just going to trust that they are going to do the right thing, you wind up getting what we get sometimes, the short end of the stick. And so the only thing that we have that we can do in a representative government is to replace them. But you have to be aware of what they aren't doing.
Or what they're saying they're going to do, and then believing and then trying to decipher whether they're going to do it or not.
Right.
And so what's confounding me is that Donald Trump has tapped into this anger and frustration, but he's not really promising to do the things for the people who are rightfully angry and frustrated that they should be having done for them. Kamala Harris is busily talking about and probably putting herself in a position once elected to deliver on a bunch of things that Tom, Dick, and Mary really need and want. Affordable housing, child daycare, health care that they can afford and is accessible, the things that really do matter. Donald Trump is ignoring all those altogether, and all he's doing is stroking people's anger and promising them that he will create a beautiful government. You know, it's going to be beautiful. Am I going to have health care? Yes, it's going to be a beautiful program. Is there going to be child daycare? Yes. Ivanka, I've talked to her, and he goes into a weave, and it's going to be beautiful. And so, you know, there's no substance here. There's no meat on the bone except for stroking the anger and frustration.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we're showing it right now by showing up in record number of votes. The one thing the people are not catching is that the number of sensible Republicans that are actually voting Democratic because of a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose. I want to button up something with Gary. Gary keeps on calling in day after day and talking about this person that yelled out in Kamala Harris's rally and said, Jesus Christ is Lord, or whatever it was. You know what? The person interrupted the speech. They could yell whatever they wanted to yell. They interrupted the speech, and she said, I guess you're looking for the other rally. Doesn't matter if she heard. She didn't probably hear what they said. It was just an interruption in the rally, Gary. So quit calling in about that red herring that there is. Money in politics is the biggest problem of all. Citizens United is what brought all of this on. It's brought on distrust between our government. It's brought about distrust with our media, because our media does not talk about money in politics and how that is the actual black eye in the room. It's the bottom line. We have got, after this election, after Kamala Harris becomes our president, we have got to make a major push to get money out of politics, go back to Feingold and McCain, go back to not where corporations are people, all of that. And also Donald Trump, getting back to your other subject about Christianity, first off, Donald Trump hasn't followed one commandment his whole life. And number two, the people that are following him are breaking the first commandment. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not have strange gods before me. They're basically making him into a god.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax on everyday products. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
All right, welcome back to Tuesday edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams, and we continue to have a conversation and a dialogue about things that are really critically important as we move even closer to this election on next Tuesday. Sandy, let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. You know, I listened to you with the first segment, and you talked about how Donald Trump changed his positions on abortion. Well, remember Bernie Sanders said that Kamala Harris is doing what she has to. She's saying what she has to get elected. She changed her positions on fracking. On the border, she called it racist. Remember, the border wall was racist, and now she agrees to build it. So I hear criticism, but you don't use the same standard to criticize Kamala Harris, Sandy. So I wish you would.
Well, hold on, CJ. First off, you guys condemn Kamala Harris for changing her view on things. You guys did. And now that Donald Trump is changing his view on things, it's okay.
Well, I didn't actually condemn him for changing his view on abortion.
No,
I simply said he was changing it because it was expedient. And so that I thought the Christian right might be upset about that. I wasn't expressing my own concern about it. She changed his view in the direction.
Which people have a
right
to
do. In the
do.
Direction of what I'm interested in, although he hasn't been made it clear as to what his changed position is. He simply has indicated he might be softer on it than we think. Kamala Harris is just simply outlining her policy positions. I don't think she said she was going to build the wall. I do think she said she would sign that bill that was tanked as the result of his treatment. I think she also talked about adding ICE agents and doing some other things. But in any case, she's expressing the policies that she intends to implement as president. Some of them might be changed positions. Some of it might be because she listened to the people. She might have listened to experts. She might have looked at different change circumstances. I don't know. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm interested in what positions people are propounding. I'm not interested in what their position was 10 years ago.
Well, there, you proved my point because he's evolved on issues.
I'm all right with him evolving on issues. CJ, the point I was making was that the religious right, the promise that he kept to the religious right was to appoint the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade. And now he's finding expedient to back off from it. I simply said I thought the religious right that backed him might want to reexamine what it is they're thinking about him, given his apparent expedience. I wasn't criticizing him for changing his position.
But CJ, how come you can't understand that you are saying Donald Trump changed his position, it's all right, but Kamala Harris can't change her position? Don't you understand? What you are saying is ridiculous. It's okay for Donald Trump to change his position, but there's something wrong with her changing hers?
Can I respond?
Go ahead, quickly.
Because she never states her position. Oh. She never states her policy.
Hey, CJ, thank you very much for the call. Come on, man.
What? She must state her position because she's...
You said she changed it.
She changed it. Right. She must have changed it to something, right?
Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. How you doing, sir?
Oh, okay. I've got a couple of things. I want to say. The first thing is that I have a very good friend, musician, and she is definitely progressive. She's definitely going to be voting for the Harris-Walz ticket. But when I started to talk with her about some of the stuff that is on Project 2025 and what Trump is, you know, basically his retribution, revenge platform, and his threat for a police state to, I mean, how else can you possibly remove 11 million people? And of course, there will be some people who are legitimate citizens who get caught up in this. But she basically said, well, he's not going to be able to do that. And given what the Supreme Court has said, he will be able to do that. That's the first thing I want to say. Regarding Trump's changing his position constantly and documented lie after lie after lie, there is a German-American historian who studied the Nazis by the name of Hannah Arendt. And I'd like to give you two quotes from her, and then I'll listen to the rest of the program. One of them is, this constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure that no one believes anything anymore. And apparently that's worked on my friend. And the next one is, the ideal subject of totalitarian rule is not the convinced Nazi or dedicated communist, but people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, true and false, no longer exists. And of course, if you don't know fact from fiction, you don't know who to vote for.
Hey, Dick, as always, I mean, Jack. Excuse me, Jack, as always, man, well said, really appreciate it.
Well, that's exactly what I was talking about before, the grift, which is to say everything, promise everything, be self-contradictory all the time, which is to create complete lack of clarity of what your positions are, what the truth might be, so that everyone can believe whatever they wish to believe and can ignore anything they wish to ignore. And that's where Donald Trump is coming from.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come to all of you on the phone lines, I promise you. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
A group of truckers who participated in the 5th annual Barron County Truck Show in September have donated the proceeds of the event to a Rice Lake family in need. The group reportedly gave a $65,000 check to the Helstad family to help pay for the medical expenses of their 8-year-old daughter, Blair, who has been hospitalized in Madison for months. Blair was diagnosed with febrile infection-related epilepsy syndrome and has struggled with difficult symptoms. The family thanked the truckers for their overwhelming generosity. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced a new invasive species detected in the Chippewa and Black Rivers. According to a press release, DNR staff started to receive reports of a suspected invasive carp on the lower Chippewa River in Eau Claire and later discovered that the invasive silver carp had migrated to the area. Officials are now sampling tributaries to the lower Chippewa River to determine if the invasive carp has spread to any other areas. They believe the fish migrated during high water levels in early summer. A pedestrian was hospitalized following a police-involved accident on Monday afternoon. According to the Minnesota State Patrol, the accident involved the Duluth police officer and the pedestrian. The officer was driving on 2nd Street and went to turn onto 6th Avenue East when she hit a 47-year-old woman who was walking at around 1:10 p.m. The woman was taken to the hospital for treatment with minor injuries. Due to the involvement of a Duluth police officer in the accident, the Minnesota State Patrol is conducting the investigation. The Duluth Entertainment Convention Center hosted the Great Lakes Outdoor Summit on Friday. The summit brings in businesses, conservation advocates, and residents to connect and build a community that seeks to preserve the environment and benefit everyone in the area. Over 40 organizations attended the summit and held engagement sessions that covered topics like climate change, outdoor advocacy, and solutions for accessibility. Organizers say their hope is people will return for future sessions to keep those conversations going. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Oliver's comedic takes on current events are top-notch. If you want a sample size and a good laugh, check out his and Will Ferrell's funny parody of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Oliver, an immigrant himself, had to take a test to become a citizen and then listen to Greenwood's song during his citizenship ceremony and thought new U.S. citizens deserved better. When he found out Greenwood charges the U.S. government $700 a year to use the song, it rubbed him the wrong way. So he is offering the new Will Ferrell version to the government for $701. Seems like a sensible price. Uma Thurman and Anthony Hopkins are teaming up with another up-and-coming actress, Phoebe Denever, for a forbidden love story called The Housekeeper. The film will be set in England at Hopkins' character's vast estate, with Thurman playing a housekeeper falling for a young woman and author who is visiting. It sounds quite steamy because Thurman and Denever are both very attractive, and even more so because there is no mention of Anthony Hopkins doing a love scene. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy today with a high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. The wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, scattered showers, thundershowers, 55. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with falling temperatures. We're going to drop into the upper 40s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
When right-wing politicians tried to sell us out to Big Pharma and the insurance companies, Tammy Baldwin refused to back down. Baldwin took on the big drug companies and capped the price of insulin at $35.
She fought for people like me.
Everything they've done with the health care, with the insulin.
They've done a lot of things to help lower bills.
Baldwin led the charge to make sure people with pre-existing conditions could keep their health care. And after Roe v. Wade was struck down, Tammy wrote the bill to restore equal access to abortion care for women everywhere.
She wants to make sure that all of us keep our benefits. She wants to make sure that we have the right to choose.
There's too much at stake here. We have to get out and vote.
I'm going to vote for Tammy Baldwin.
I'm proud to be voting for Tammy Baldwin.
Paid for by Power to the Polls Federal Fund, powertothepollsfund.com, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Pat Kreitlow. Wednesday in our homeroom segment, a closing message to voters about the importance of saying yes to public schools and no to the politicians who threaten them.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And I got to go straight to the phone lines. I am honored and privileged to have on Professor Eric Dyson, a man I've kind of, you know, followed for almost 30 years. How you doing, Professor Dyson? How are you?
Brother Ingram, I'm doing fine, sir. Thank you so much for having me on.
Man, it's so great. I've watched you, and read some of your great books, and a very prominent man. To what do we owe this privilege this morning?
Well, I just want to share with your audience that Kamala Harris is the best woman for the job, the best person for the job. And she is a remarkable candidate, having galvanized so many different segments and sectors of American society around an issue of not only economic prosperity, but democratic, small d prosperity, the possibility of maintaining and preserving our democracy in the face of such manifest chaos and incoherence from the other side. So I just want to encourage your listeners to vote for Kamala Harris, to vote certainly to make sure that our democracy is preserved, and to vote to make certain that people who are poor, who are working class, who are middle class, who are vulnerable to so much of the downturn and economic chaos that some will deliver to us because of their policies will be protected. So I'm honored this morning to just share that case with your audience.
You know, your voice has been very prominent dealing with issues that impact social issues in this country for over 30 years and other issues. So when you look at the difference between the other person and Kamala Harris, are you surprised that it's even close?
I am extremely surprised that it's close, because when you look at it, the visions of America are so remarkably disparate. On the one hand, we have Kamala Harris, who is invested in listening, talking with, and engaging the American public, not demagoguery, not condescension, not vitriol, not hatred, not violence, not trying to suggest that if I don't win, therefore it must be rigged, to create the chaos of distrust and disbelief in the valuable process of American democracy, that voting is a valuable route to American representation, not merely American empire and power. And her vision of America comports well with the history of the best thinkers, the best presidents, and the best leaders of this nation. How do we stimulate the economy? How do we generate employment? How do we speak to the needs of the poor and the middle class? How do we create infrastructures of possibility economically and socially and politically for the perpetuation of legacies of equity, equality, freedom, and justice? On the other hand, we got a person out here calling folk names, having rallies with comedians who are insulting Puerto Ricans and African Americans, Black people in general, gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual, and the like. So the vision of America is startlingly different, and I believe that Kamala Harris has a vision that will help those, even those who disagree with her, versus the kind of narrow, pinched, impossibly parochial vision that the other side presents.
Sandy.
You know, Professor, I think one of the things you point out is the fact that Kamala Harris' programs are designed to buttress the middle class, to help the people who are currently under such financial strain, our shrinking middle class, the people who are living paycheck to paycheck and face so much pressure. And she's got policies that address it. And whereas there's lots of talk about how Donald Trump is a danger to democracy based on the things he's going to implement in government, another danger to democracy that we're experiencing is this this problem with the middle class and the pressure on the middle class. And without a healthy middle class, our democracy probably fails in and of itself based on that. And I hear you saying essentially that, I think.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Without the promised prosperity of the middle class, what do we have? Because most of us ain't rich. We ain't super rich. We ain't even elite. The vast majority of us fall into that lower to middle class, some of us in the upper middle class. And of course, those who are poor and who don't even have the possibility of, you know, maintaining any grip on the possibility of prosperity. Those two constituencies, the working class is under assault, the middle class is under assault, and if we can add those who are desperately poor, yes, those are the people who we most should be concerned about. Those are the people that policies either enacted to help or enacted to hurt and harm. And I think that Kamala Harris represents those who pay attention to the needs of the most vulnerable and address them without looking out for fat cat millionaires, multimillionaires, and billionaires, some of whom own newspapers and can't make up their moral minds about what to do apart from how it affects their bottom line.
You know, so what do you want to say, Professor Dyson, as we get ready to wrap this up and you won't have a chance to talk to this listening audience again about the importance of this time and the historic position? I mean, you've written 25 books. You're a historian as well. Where we are?
Yes, sir. Where we are is at an inflection point in American history. Where we are, without fear of hyperbole or exaggeration, is the most consequential election of our lifetimes, and perhaps in, you know, one of the most consequential in the history of this nation. We think about what happened in the aftermath of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln or the election before that put him back into office. We think about what happened after the Great Depression and how we would lead forward, and then the New Deal that came with FDR. We think about what happened after World War II and the election of Eisenhower, Truman before him, and, you know, John F. Kennedy in the wake of that. So there have been many consequential elections, the one after Nixon resigned, and, of course, Gerald Ford was put into, succeeded him. The point is that there have been many, but this is one of the most consequential, and it is most consequential because what's on ballot is not a man or a woman merely. It is the future of American democracy. Are you with a person who values the input of ordinary citizens? Are you for preserving democracy that no matter the outcome, you will support the person who is duly established and voted as the next representative of American democracy? Or will you side with those who seek to undermine and destroy the possibility of American democracy and who seek to distract people from economic prosperity, from social justice, from creating stable infrastructures of political possibility by, you know, establishing the vote as legitimate, by establishing local government as legitimate, and not trying to undermine it with a January 6th-like chaos that would challenge the very premise of American democracy? That's what's at stake. That's why Kamala Harris must become the next president of the United States of America.
Professor Dyson, thank you very much for your valuable time and your great insight. That's Professor Michael Eric Dyson. Let's go to the phone lines and Al from Milwaukee. Hey, Al, thank you. You say what?
Very quickly, I'm looking at it on the internet right now. U.S. Constitution eligibility to vote and run for office. Who cannot vote? Some people cannot vote after being convicted of a felony or if they're serving time for other types of crime. Also, some people who have a mental disability may not be eligible to vote. I'm reading this from the Constitution, people. Have a good day.
All right, Al. Thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to any of that?
Well, I obviously, the inference is there with respect to one of the candidates who might fall under some of those categories. And it's an interesting irony. A law and order candidate who comes armed with a record, and by that I mean a criminal record. I think Project 2025, the blueprint that it provides, lends credence to what it is that the professor was talking about in terms of here we've got a design that the Trump will distance himself from it, but some of the premises in it to have the FBI serve as a private police force, essentially, for the president, with the head of the director of the FBI serving at the pleasure of the president, having the Justice Department and all the U.S. attorneys operate under the direct control of the president, getting rid of the Department of Education, having the Federal Reserve operate directly under the control of the president. There's a number of things that are in Project 2025, which Donald Trump attempted to do during his first term in office. So it's very clear that it's part of his plan. And this plan is insidious, okay, and it's dangerous. And if Donald Trump gets elected, and if he brings with him a majority of the Senate and a majority of the House, at least for the first 2 years, Katie, bar the door, okay, because there will be changes, and there will be changes that we won't like very much, I'm quite sure.
That's all of us.
All of us.
Yeah, even those who support him.
Yes, I think they will be surprised by how uncomfortable a country will be that looks like what it is Project 2025 wants this country to be.
All right, let's go to Sam. Sam from McClare. Go ahead, Sam.
I don't know. Trump sounds very scary. It sounds like he wants to be king of the United States, not president of the United States. Sounds like he wants complete control and everything, and he wants to be king of the United States, and he wants to do everything that he wants to do instead of working with other people. And it would be very scary if he is elected the next president.
Hey Sam, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Lori from Shawnee. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. I was just wondering, if a felon can't vote, how can a felon run for president? And so he can't vote for himself, but, you know, he thinks he's so great, but I am keeping my fingers crossed that he will be so great that he will be the first male president to be beat by a woman.
hey, Shawnee, thank you very much. I mean, Laurie from Shawnee, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, quickly.
Well, the Constitution doesn't provide for a disqualification because of a felony conviction for the office of president. So, you know, the Constitution allows it. So that's the way, you know, it's the letter of the law.
So is there an absolutism in what Al read when we're talking
he was reading a condensation of it, and there are some states that don't permit it and some states that do. The status of felons and their right to vote is not a matter of the Constitution. It's a matter of state law.
Guys, hang on. I'll come right to you. I promise we're going to have – you guys will take us out. So hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Real quick, raise your hand if you want to lose an additional 4 bands a year. Go ahead and put your hands up. Put your hands up. You voted for Kamala Harris. Oh, okay. My fault. Good, because I don't think people understand that voting for Trump means you will lose an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. If Trump is elected, he plans to add a 60% tariff on all imports from China. Anything in your house that says made in China, take the price that you paid for and add 60%. He plans to add a 20% tariff on all imports coming from every other country. With Kamala Harris's opportunity economy, she's not hitting you with the sales tax of doom. She's providing tax cuts to the middle and working class, so that means you will save an additional $4,000 to $5,000 a year. Plus the $25,000 she's literally handing to new homebuyers, like, you know who to vote for in this November's election. It's Kamala Harris. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. heroicdeed.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Van Rooten, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories, and in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Sandy, I don't know where the time went.
It flew by.
You know, the music is always great, the music.
Countdown to the vote. 7 days from today, we get 7 days to get out and vote. Well, it's early voting most places, so if you got the opportunity to do that, get out and do it.
All right, let's hit these calls. Eric from Tulsa. Hey, Eric, thank you very much, man. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. You know, the Citizens United ruling in 2010 played a big part in bringing Scotty Wanker to power, and the idea that money is speech greased the skids for where we are today in making it possible for the libertarian billionaires to play the divide-and-conquer game with our lives. And the Project 2025 totally meets the definition of the quote-unquote deep state that the regressives are always ranting about. We see it with every dark money advertisement that refuses to identify who's paying for the ad. And thinking about Sandy's point about VP Harris's opponent's fitness for office, I'd like to ask your party over country callers who claim to run their own businesses if they would even bother calling back a job applicant with 34 felony convictions on the record, let alone to hire them.
Hey, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tim from McClare. Good morning to you, Tim. You say what?
Yeah, you know, I just seemed like Steve Bannon got out of the
House. Turn down your radio, Tim. Go ahead.
He got out of the House. And he's, you know, that if Trump gets elected, he's going to be back in there. And Bannon has come out himself and said, I'm a Leninist. I've read a couple articles or I heard a podcast. He says, I'm a Leninist. These people don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Hey, Tim, thank you very much for the call.
Well, you know, Bannon is just one of a number of people who came out from under the rock before. Really kind of notorious characters and yet embedded deeply in our government in terms of calling shots. It's a band of renegades.
Robert from West Allis. Good morning to you, Robert.
Good morning. Quick question. Harris versus Trump or Hubby versus Senator Baldwin. My question is around fast fashion. There's a company called Shein. It's going public on the London Stock Exchange because It can't go on the exchange here. They're exploiting the tax code using an article where you don't have to pay a percentage. You know, when people would send back lamps or a rug when they're traveling. They also are just making terrible products that are filling up landfills, and they're doing it with slave labor. Where are the campaigns on that? What are their positions on that? And are they looking to close that loophole to eliminate some of this?
Well, I suspect that's pretty thick in the weeds in terms of, you know, it, good government would call for it, but whether that loophole is one that is sufficiently, the public is sufficiently aware of and focused on that it would become part of a presidential campaign. But I think good government is definitely on the ballot, and good government would dictate that something be done about that kind of regulation. And so I think there's one candidate who's much more likely to deliver good government.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Thank you very much for waiting, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quickly that commenting on two things. One thing Sandy said about even the people that vote for Trump not being happy with Project 2025 and what it's going to reflect. Second, he just plays political hopscotch with his policies. Like he said with abortion, oh, we returned it to the states. He knew exactly what he was doing when he returned it to the states. He gave it to all the lower states and states like Texas and Iowa and other places where they've completely banned abortion. And then Texas is trying to make it illegal for people to even travel to get a legal abortion. So he knew what he was doing. And he's never changed his stance, CJ. So stop trying to BS everybody with all this snow, because that's all lies. He's a liar and a fraud. Have a good day, guys.
All right, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Tom from L.A., you got the last of it.
Yeah, Sandy always talks about, and it's a very, very good thing, about child care, health care, taxes, mortgage. Those are the four main things that he says that the middle class and Tom, Dick, and Jane are interested in. And I'll tell you what, there's only one candidate that actually handles that, child care. Kamala Harris wants to do a $6,000 tax credit. Health care, she wants to make sure everyone in the country has $35 prescription drugs. Taxes, she wants to lower taxes on anyone that's $400,000 or that makes $400,000 and less. For the people over $400,000, your taxes will be raised. And mortgage or rent, she wants to make it so therefore there's rent control. And mortgage, she wants to give people a $25,000 tax credit, or I'm sorry, a stipend for first-time home buyers. Donald Trump has nothing. All he's got is Project 2025 and lowering taxes on billionaires. It's your choice, America. Make it wisely.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, after it's all said and done, another day down, six more for you and I. You know, when you listen to all the people who call in, and we thank you, the listeners. I've always said we wouldn't have an outlet. We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for you, the listeners. And so we're very appreciative of you. But clearly sounding out and having the opportunity to, you know, to speak is what Sandy and my show are about, to give you that voice. So we thank you for that. We're very appreciative of it. And Sandy, great stuff as always.
Well, you know, we just try to deal with it straight out, straightforward. And I think that's why callers call in, because I think we're trying to do that, and I think people recognize it.
All right. Up next, Matt Nair, Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach. Matt Nair on air. Calvin, thank you. We'll be back on tomorrow. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. So far away. So far away. Smash me right down. Yeah, you bring me up. And then you take me for a cloud. You bring me up. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Dom Selvia.
Next time, a GOP-connected super PAC backing Jill Stein in Wisconsin. Mr. Ethics, Scott Ross, joins me to talk about dehumanizing ads, plus overtime with Maggie Dawn. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.